Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Matt.
And Sean.
From Two Black Guys.
With good credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
This is the Daily Tech News Show for Friday, December 27th, 2019 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
From Studio Snubs, I'm Shannon Morse.
From Oakland, California, I'm Justin Robert Young.
And from the Podfeet Podcast Empire, this is Allison Sheridan.
I'm
Roger Chang, the show's producer.
The clever folks among you may realize that this is exactly the same assemblage of people that we did last year for the predictions episode. And this is something I love to do. We did it at Buzz Out Loud. We do it at Daily Tech News Show. We did it at Tech News Today. It's a chance for us to look at the predictions we made last year and see just how great we did. How amazingly accurate all of our predictions were. Thanks, everybody, for being able to come back together today and look at your predictions straight in the eye and decide whether they were true or not. We'll sort of take a community approach to that. And Sarah, we'll start with you. What was your first of your two predictions last year?
The first of my two predictions was henceforth. Apple will stop selling the HomePod and instead insert Siri into competing smart speakers. I didn't have a lot of faith in Apple at the time, not because the HomePod isn't a good product, but because they were late to the game and it was also very expensive. I did not get this correctly. What ended up happening over the last year, as you might recall, back in April, Apple lowered the price of HomePods down to about $299. It was $349. And you think, okay, well, maybe they're hurting a little bit. Not that I would be rooting for the HomePod to die, but I was kind of thinking of my tech prediction, thinking I'm so smart. No one else thought that this was going to happen. And the market share as of August, according to certain data, had not really risen based on that price cut. HomePod was about 5%, way behind, obviously, Amazon and Google competing products, but this did not happen as I thought it would. HomeKit has been added to a variety of smart TVs over the last year, but Apple did not do the 180 that I thought might happen.
I think that was a logical guess. I would have, maybe they should have.
I feel like stopping selling the HomePod was a decent bet. I could see them pulling it off the market, possibly, or replacing it with something new, like HomePod 2, right? They didn't do that. That's surprising to me. Siri, I feel like eventually they might do that, but it just wasn't going to happen this soon.
Yeah, I can't take credit for this. I thought, can I sort of take credit for them at least? Give it a little bit of a price drop? No. I got this one wrong. I just got it wrong.
All right. What about your next one? Did you do better on your other one?
Well, I wish I could say yes, Tom. I predicted in the smart video devices category, such as Facebook Portal, they will be shunned by the public and will not last the year. Mm. Now, I will say Facebook Portal hasn't gotten a lot of love by anybody that I know, but it is alive and well. And a lot of Black Friday deals for Facebook Portal and competing video products. Echo Show, for example.
Nest Home. Yeah.
Nest Home. Alive and well. Alive and well. I don't. I believe that it was either in our tech predictions of last year or some sort of a episode of DTNS around that time. I kind of said, I just don't really get it. And I got more than one frustrated emailer in just saying, well, just because you don't get it doesn't mean that it's not really helpful for me. And that is true. And that is why I will go ahead and eat my lunch here, because I'm 0 for 2.
Yeah. And this one, it went the opposite. Instead, we saw more models. We saw Amazon come up with multiple versions and different screen sizes, and the same for Google. And in fact, integrated into the Nest brand and all of that. So it's, you know, sometimes you make a bet and things just go the opposite way.
Has anyone on our panel either bought the Facebook portal or had a lot of experience with it? Because I have not. I know that there's been some kind of, well, it's Facebook, you know, this is the last company that I'm going to buy one of these things from. But I get the impression that the company feels pretty confident that it's going to continue to capture some market value.
Yeah, I have not, but it's more because I don't trust Facebook's hardware, because they don't really have a track record with it, than it is necessarily any particular fear of Facebook data harvesting, considering that the other key players in the space are Amazon and Google, which are doing the same thing, just in different ways.
Right. I also have not had any experience with the Facebook portal, but I have tried other devices, like Lenovo has a smart hub and also the Google one as well. And I feel like that market is kind of exploding right now. We've seen a whole bunch of them. I mean, not just from the major players, but some of the smaller players as well, because it's so easy to integrate the smart voice assistants now. So I think if anything, we're going to see that market grow larger and larger.
I didn't realize that it was really taking off until one of my family members asked for an Echo Show for Christmas. And I was like, really? That's a thing?
apparently. You know, and you want to know what, Allison? That has been the gift that I've gotten for it's all of my wife's family out in Ohio and my mom and brother out in Florida. They're all getting Echo Shows. So sorry to spoil Christmas if any of them are listening.
Well, but it's December 27th, Justin, so they already know.
I think part of it is, A, it's just another device, and especially for my brother and his wife that have two kids, it's just another device that they can use either in the kitchen or to distract the kids. And then it's also, it is one of those form defines function kind of things where, yes, of course, we all have FaceTime or Duo or something like that to do voice chat, but having a little dedicated mirror where you can communicate with friends and family is an attractive idea. I think for whatever reason, 2019, it clicked, despite the fact these things have been out for years.
I think if you'd narrowed it to Facebook portal wouldn't last the year, I would have supported this. It still did. But I can't imagine Facebook portal lasts another year. Like, that, come on.
That's what I thought a year ago.
Right.
I believe that this prediction came from Facebook portal, because at the time it was brand new and it didn't make a lot of sense to me. And so I sort of said, well, this, you know, Facebook portal dies, it's probably because the form factor is not necessary for a lot of folks. But as we're hearing now, people love it.
All right, Shannon, let's move over to your two predictions. How'd you do?
Yeah, well, speaking of user security, my first one was paranoia will create regulations in the privacy and tech sector, sweeping more countries than just the EU's GDPR. So I suspected that we would see major tech companies hit with large-scale fines from GDPR. Now, for that last part, if I said just large-scale fines, I would have gotten it right, because we did see the FTC fine Facebook $5 billion for a privacy settlement. So we did see that. We also did see a real estate company in Germany get fined via the GDPR for 14.5 million euros. So, you know, that's a decent amount of money, but it's not a tech company. It's not a large tech company. And as far as hearing about sweeping more countries with GDPR-esque type of legislation, we haven't seen that yet. It's been very slow. I mean, it's government work, so go figure. But we did see the CCPA in California. That is going to be enacted in January, and that's the California Consumer Privacy Act, I believe it's called. And a lot of people are suspecting that that might end up making the rest of the U.S. states start to take security more seriously and maybe create other legislation. But we haven't seen anything sweeping for any other countries like we have in Europe. So there's some things moving. There's traction as far as my predictions go, but none of it I could say like straight up like, yes, I got this right.
We are seeing a lot of movement for proposing federal legislation now that CCPA is coming in on both exactly. sides of the aisle. So you may see that still happen. What do you think, panel? Do we give her partial credit on any of this?
I think we have to give her partial credit because of the CPA stuff.
Yeah, I'm awarding partial credit.
Thanks, guys. I too believe you deserve partial credit.
Thanks. All right. Well, you may go for a win there. How'd you do on your other one?
I don't think I'll go for a win on this one. My second one was that AI will be used in cyber espionage campaigns and social engineering, which may have happened, but we did not see any kind of publicized news about anything like that happening. I did read that there are a lot of businesses trying to start using AI to thwart hackers, but nothing really vice versa. So I'm still waiting for this to happen. I feel like it's still going to happen, but 2019 was just not the year for hackers to figure out AI. So we're still waiting on that factor.
Keep this one rolling, huh, Shannon?
Yeah, we'll keep this one rolling. Now, Allison, you did make was it a prediction that you made in 2017?
Well, this is bad for me to try to remember, but according to our notes, we say that Allison gets a quarter of a point if evidence proves AI was used to social engineer hacks and campaigns in 2017, but that doesn't make any sense. We must have meant 2019 or 2016?
Yeah.
Probably not 2016. Exactly.
Yeah, so if we say it's 2016, I mean, technically the conversation reports that highly sophisticated micro-targeting operations I lost my place, relied on big data and machine learning to influence people's emotions. Different voters receive different messages based on predictions about their susceptibility to different arguments. That would suggest that I got credit. What do you guys think?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I even understand what I said before, so I'm stretching here.
Well, I mean, yeah. So basically, the only thing is that whenever these kind of things wind up getting reported, you have to sort of take a grain of salt with sophisticated micro-targeting, because it probably just means they bought Facebook ads.
But did it use machine learning?
If it used machine learning, then yeah. No, they were crunching the numbers. And again, it was probably fairly routine of just saying, like, if you're in a Facebook group that or people from this Facebook group would probably be PO'd about a certain language. But yeah, I think it tracks.
I don't know. I think you would have had to have an election break in or something like that. I might hold the line a little bit on this one. I'm not sure.
Because this is just emotions, not actually like affecting,
attempted
not,
manipulation
not
of chain. Of behavior is different than a hack into a campaign or social engineering.
As far as my context goes, I was thinking more along the lines of hackers hacking into like industrial control systems with AI, and we didn't see anything like that. So I wasn't thinking along the same lines as Allison, but I think both of those have a place. I mean, it's definitely going to become a concern if it's not that much of a concern yet.
Yeah, you may have just been too early on that one.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to side with Tom on this. I don't think I get the quarter point.
Well, you were trying to surf in on Shannon's anyway, so it would have been just bonus material to begin with. All right, Allison, let's actually look at your predictions yourself. Start with your first one. How'd you do?
I may not even need that quarter point. My first prediction was Google will finally come out with a single unified messaging service that actually works. It will fail to get immediate adoption because no one trusts them not to drop things anymore. Eventually, it will be widely adopted, but not till 2020.
So they did start to move people to messages, and they did something with RCS where they're trying to improve messages.
Yeah, so they got rid of Allo and Hangouts, so they consolidated down to 5 messaging apps. So that was clearly in the direction I was going. But I mean, it's not like they invented RCS or anything, right? They're just saying, let's put RCS in standard messages.
Yeah, yeah.
And they only did that, a month and a half ago, the middle of November.
Right.
So technically, it might be the single unified messaging service that actually works. And it was not universally widely adopted.
And
what do you
think? And they are retiring Hangouts. They haven't done it yet, but they've announced that it is sunsetted. Duo, they've turned into like, this isn't a messaging service. This is FaceTime. This is a phone calling, video calling. I think you get at least partial credit on this.
I would give her full points, man. It was a very good prediction if you think about RCS. I've already adopted RCS for my non-signal, non-pro encryption friends and family. And so far it's working great. So I do think that we're going to see pretty good adoption next year, given that messages does work. And I can say that from experience.
So actually works. Not widely adopted because they just did it a month ago.
Yeah. No. I give you thumbs up on this one.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same boat. We're going to give you thumbs up on that one. What about your next one?
Well, Apple's TV app will come to another service like Roku or Amazon.
That is a 100. You are number one.
Got two for two.
Wow. And it came to Roku and Amazon.
And Amazon, I know.
How did I do it?
Just to, icing on the cake.
How did you know these things?
Oh, I crowdsourced my predictions. I'm terrible at this. I didn't write any of these.
Well, this was the pick because at this point last year, we were aware of Apple TV, that they were probably going to launch in the next year. And that would be the reason. That is the reason why they wound up putting their TV app on the other services, but still full credit for knocking this one out of the park.
This may be we'd have to go back and double check. This may be the most correct prediction that we've ever had. Like, there's no room for interpretation here. Like, Apple's TV app did come to Roku and Amazon. Full
and
stop.
It was specific too. I mean, it wasn't a general one, right?
Yeah, no, it was very specific. You even named names. So well done. 110%.
Share credit with the No Silla Castaways who wrote it.
They had to do this too. Like, it's possible that they might not have done it because they're Apple, but to make Apple TV Plus successful, they had to be doing this. And so it makes sense to me that they did.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Right. All right, Justin Robert Young, we turn to you now. How did you do with your first one?
Not so good, Al. Snap will sell, which not only did it not sell to anybody, but it has tripled its stock value since I made this particular
prediction. Making it less likely to be sold.
Far less likely. Yeah, I mean, this was pretty much at the height of... you know, there was another push on the spectacles last year. Instagram had so thoroughly kind of taken a lot of the market share, at least of those stories thing. But that being said, stories have endured. This is just a tremendous way that people like to share. So if every other service is adding stories-esque versions of themselves so they can continue to add users, then Snap has not only gotten themselves into a good space, but the business seems to be thriving.
I feel like I'm surprised how well Snap is doing a year later. I wasn't sure they would be sold, but I really did feel like Snap was fading away, and they haven't. In fact, if anything, they've reconsolidated their position and weathered the storm and seem to be on the rise again a little bit.
Well, they did have a big surge in those lenses. Remember, there was a couple week period where everybody was a woman turning into a man and vice versa and looking old or whatever. Everybody went bananas, at least for a couple of weeks in a row there. I mean, I know my family, all we did was sit around and make each other laugh for a couple of weeks with it.
Yeah, you know, it certainly was able to maintain its relevancy. And also, there is just a very winning position for them as their user base does get a little older. And something that I've noticed a lot in 2019 is a social strata for demographics and social networks that it's like it in the early days we were so used to. It's like, oh, no, the youth will go to the new thing and we will all move in a herd. And that was just the early adopters, because Facebook is an older demo. Twitter is a middle of the road demo. And now you're seeing Snap and Instagram and TikTok be their own kind of social strata for age wise. So Snap will just live on. And as they get older, you know, people who are selling cars will be able to sell them cars.
I wonder how much the TikTok folks and the rise of TikTok will eventually eat into Snap to the point that it is suffering. Hasn't happened yet, even though TikTok
the thing that Snap has, no matter how weird it is to use, it is a vital messaging app for mm-hmm. its key demographic. And that is something that as of now, TikTok really isn't. TikTok is shooting, editing, watching videos, and Snap is just an integral part of life for many people.
I wonder if TikTok isn't helping Snap in an odd way, where people are looking at TikTok, consuming the videos, and then wanting to talk to someone about it in a similar form, right? They seem to kind of go hand in hand, sort of like Facebook and Twitter for us old people.
Yeah,
calling old.
How many people here use Snapchat?
I haven't opened up Snapchat in over a year.
Same. Yeah, it's been.
I even get notifications when someone's added me as a friend, and I'm so lazy I just haven't turned those off. So I've gained quite a few friends over the last year, and I haven't opened it once.
Sarah, that is a big mood. Big mood.
Mind you, these are not friends that I actually know.
So there's
that. I don't
actually. I tried to friend you on Snap, and you never friended me back. So,
oh crap!
Oh, it's an Ellen DeGeneres moment. Crap.
I think it's probably the.
Well, it's open now. It's great. There's a lot of activity.
I think we use our we use Snapchat in the family maybe once or twice a day. And it's sort of like, you know, you want to, I think part of what I'm doing is I'm pulling away from posting a lot of stuff publicly. I'm getting tired of, mm-hmm. like, when I send stuff to Facebook, my immediate reaction is that I get drawn into, well, how many likes did I like? Did anybody mm-hmm. comment? And so the people I really care about are my immediate family. And so we send funny pictures to each other and use it like that.
That's cool. All right, Justin, what about your second one?
All right. Now we're in the market for partial credit. My prediction was Amazon will be hit with an antitrust case, which I use the strong language because those always make for the best predictions. As of now, with the recording of it, of this episode, they have not been officially hit with an antitrust case. However, as reported by Bloomberg, there is a looming possibility that antitrust scrutiny could come to Amazon's AWS service.
Ooh, so timely.
That was only yesterday.
As of recording.
This is a prediction where we definitely are going to have to drop the veil for a second and admit we're recording this on December 5th because this could become true still by the end of the year. You could conceivably have the FTC bring the case. And I would venture to say that the fact that the FTC is sniffing around not only in retail but in AWS means they are going to bring something. It's an actual antitrust case or some kind of like out of court settlement of a fine, that remains to be seen. But I'm going to give you 90% credit on this because something is going to happen.
And specifically, the reason why I made the prediction was because there were so many targets with Amazon specifically. And I thought it was going to come to the store where they are not only the judge of who gets to list, but also the creator of their own products. So I assumed that's where it would come. But the fact that AWS is also there, you know, gives me a little bit rounder of a target. But I'm feeling good about this one.
I don't want to be a hard nose here, Tom, but I'm going to challenge you a little bit. I agree that it probably is going to happen. But I don't think we have any indication that it's going to happen in the next 25 days.
We don't. You're right. It could, or it might happen next year. But
I bring that down from 95%.
All right.
You can't give them close to full credit when it hasn't happened.
I want credit on layaway. You know,
exactly. I was thinking you want an advance on yourself.
Listen, right? Justin, if you just sign up for my credit card, I will give you 120% credit.
I will be the credit card and demand credit immediately.
This is one of those where it's like, you are right. We're either recording too early or you're right too early. It's one of those two.
Add this to yet another bits of my frustration about the slow moving wheels of government.
Yeah. Yeah. And that
I am going to be able to put it
on their horse and rode a little sooner.
Having done these predictions episodes, every year since 2005, I have learned to try not to make the prediction that'll be true in 5 years because I've had really good predictions that do end up becoming true, but not for years after my prediction show. So let's turn to my predictions from last year. The first one, I think, is 100% wrong in every way I can look at it. I said, because I was caught up in this story in December of 2018, I said lots of hand-wringing that food delivery will kill traditional sit-down restaurant businesses, which there was a little bit of hand-wringing in December of 2018. I don't think the hand-wringing actually got any larger over the course of 2019. There's still a little bit of it. We also haven't seen any big businesses go out. And the number of food delivery-only businesses hasn't really made a big impact. We haven't really heard about like, oh, there's that one business that only exists on Postmates or anything like that. They exist, but they aren't like top of mind. Instead, what we're seeing is the traditional retailers of food like McDonald's, Taco Bell, et cetera, just moving into partnerships with all of these food delivery services.
Yeah, I think there are probably some restaurants wringing their hands and watching inroads being made. At the same time, I think that this is all being adopted more and more universally, and not that there's anything nothing replaces the restaurant business. It's two different things, right? I mean, you could order food every night and never go to a restaurant, but you probably were already doing that some other way. you know, but before, you know, a lot of these apps came to your town. So yeah, I don't feel like anyone's really talking about saving the restaurants.
Well, you are missing the hand wringing. So obviously that is the operative phrase here. However, you have seen, you know, the Uber push to create more of these headless restaurants.
They
are just there for Uber Eats. You don't have any sit down area, and that in the very cost conscious volatile world of restaurants would be a tremendous way to cut down costs and to actually get things off the ground. So in a weird way, you're wrong only because you thought people would be upset about it. Like,
well, I thought it would start to, like, you know, we'd see closed up Applebee's across the country, and that's not that didn't happen.
Applebee's will never close down. The place will exist after the apocalypse.
It's like the cockroach of restaurants.
Sitting at the bar, getting salad.
All that will exist is our cockroaches and yes, the lime chicken.
should we get him a quarter of a point then? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you guys are too generous. I do think that.
I'm not going to give you anything because also, like, what, you're betting on hand wringing? Like, yeah. What kind of prediction was this anyway?
Well, I had seen a couple stories about food delivery. It's causing problems for restaurants that aren't adapting. And I really saw these headless restaurants starting to pop up, which mm-hmm. we still have. And I thought, okay, this is going to be a trend. We're going to see a lot of think pieces, you know, a deep dive from Vice about the decline. No, we didn't see any of that sort of thing.
So. I think you might be right next year.
This may be an example of I was too far ahead of the game.
Yeah,
I think what's happening is that food delivery is stealing from different areas than we thought. People still like to go out to a restaurant because they like to go out to a restaurant where they're ordering food. Sarah, you touched on this. They're ordering food instead of making a frozen dinner, instead of, you mm-hmm. know, going through the drive-thru. It's not the sit down.
It's a burrito, not I would like a nice dish of pasta with a glass of wine.
And the place with the drive-thru can easily start doing the food delivery through Uber Eats and Postmates, so they're not negatively affected.
Now, although Allison, I do sometimes order a nice pasta and a glass of wine through Postmates, and I pay dearly for it.
Just a glass of wine?
Just in general, sometimes you're like, you know what, I feel like being fancy, but I don't want to leave the house. And then later you're like, that was $70 and it was just me. That was a bad idea.
I had a plate of pasta and a very mediocre red.
All right. I think I did better with my other prediction, though. I said that 2019 would be the year of wearables. The category will be successful, higher shipments, multiple new form factors. Now, you can argue with me whether it was the year of wearables. Certainly didn't see as many form factor changes as I thought. But as of Q2, which is the most recent IDC numbers I could find here, we have seen a 28.8% year-over-year growth in wearables. And we certainly are starting to see wearables treated as a growth opportunity to the point of Fitbit being purchased by Google.
No, when you talked about wearables, did that include hearables?
No, at the time I wasn't really. I was thinking more about the wrist-worn devices. But yes, now that you say it, of course it includes hearables because that is also taking off. And it's
then,
not a
then
new
you're
form
like at
100%. Factor. But yeah, yeah.
Yeah, have we seen any new form factors announced?
Not really. Earbuds without wires on them is the newest form factor I think we've really seen. It's not that new. So,
but aren't there some great monitors, Tom?
Sorry,
I thought one of the wireless earbud manufacturers has a heart rate monitor in it.
But that's not really a form factor, is it? That's just a feature.
Well, if you take the headphone, I mean, it makes it more like the. I'm really trying to throw you a bone here.
Yeah, I appreciate this.
It makes it a different form factor, and it's more of a wearable than a hearable.
Yeah, it's
right?
a different form factor than on your wrist. Yeah,
but maybe not crazy successful.
Yeah, I think I deserve at least majority credit because this was the year that wearables really did start to come into the fore more. We talked about it a lot more often than we had been. Previously on DTNS, we've been talking about wearables. Is it ever going to catch on? Is there going to be anything besides the Apple Watch? And this year we saw big rises from Huawei and Xiaomi and even Fitbit and Samsung doing better, all raising their market shares. So it was a good year for wearables.
Yeah, I'd give them some credit, but I don't know. Justin's our toughest judge.
No, I think you get credit here. You know, I don't know exactly how bold of a prediction it was, but then again, I don't know exactly how bold mine was.
No one asked to judge it on boldness.
No, it isn't. Although I will say that Allison's is the like highest boldness to correct ratio, because that definitely, even if there were signs, it went against long-standing Apple tradition, whereas like a successful and growing market will continue to be successful and growing, or a company that has sprawled without regulation will hit rocky waters are good earners, but they are not explosive.
No, the Apple TV app coming to, I mean, I'll even say, like, yeah, there's precedent for this. They brought iTunes to Windows. They brought, sure, Apple Music to Android. But those are the exceptions that prove the rule with Apple. So yeah, this was definitely a highest risk to highest reward prediction. I don't know if we've ever given a prediction of the year before, but if we did, I think that would definitely this year stand out from the rest for sure.
The Nocilla Castaways gratefully accept your praise.
Well, this has been super fun, as it always is. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. Round the horn, let people know where they can find more of what you do. Shannon, starting with you.
Twitter.com/snubs. I'm at snubs on the Twitters, and that's where you can always follow me and find out where I'm going, what I'm doing, what convention I'm going to be at. I'll be at CNET, I'll be at CES, by the way.
CNET will be at CES too, I assume. But yeah.
CNET will, yeah. A lot of my friends work over there, so I'll definitely be stopping by their booth as well. And also, I wanted to mention snubsy.com/threatwire. I did just open up a new store where you can buy t-shirts and stickers and stuff like that for Threatwire. All of the contributions go directly back into the show. So since it is the month of giving, I wanted to say thank you so much to my patron supporters of Threatwire and everybody who watches and subscribes to that content as well, because I love doing security and privacy, and Threatwire has been very successful because of our community. So thanks, everybody.
Awesome. Judge Robert Young, what about you?
Well, friends, I have a brand new history podcast by the name of Raise the Dead, and you can download it at raisethedeadpodcast.com. It's also where you can find links that go to all of the podcatchers of your choice. Of course, we're several episodes into the series by the time that you are listening to this, and everyone loves it. It's the biggest hit of the season. Boy, it's just people.
I had predicted how dominant it would be.
Oh my God!
Those
last
few episodes I listened to were amazing.
Thank you. Oh wow! Yeah, the unrestrained praise for Raise the Dead episode 3.
By the way, the Nixon episode. Definitely my favorite of this.
That is the Nixon podcast episode. Yeah. So yeah, everyone's going to freak out as soon as they get feast their eyes on young Dick Nixon.
All right. Allison Sheridan, you keep mentioning the Nocilla Castaways. How does someone become a Nocilla Castaway?
Well, you go over to podfeet.com, and my flagship show is the Nocilla Cast, where the Nocilla Castaways come from. And you can also catch Chit Chat Across the Pond, which is an interview show. And one of my favorite things to do every other week is the Programming by Stealth series with Bart Muschatz, where he's teaching us to program in an audio podcast.
Woo-hoo. Sarah Lane, we're steaming towards the end of the year. Can you believe it?
You better believe it. Yes, it's been a wonderful year, especially with a plethora of guests, not least of which are still with us here on this here show. I'm a little salty right now because my predictions didn't go as planned, but I was first, so I got my shame out of the way and then got to listen to everyone else gloat and get partial credit for stuff that they didn't even deserve. Yeah. But
enjoy that Postmates red. You'll be fine.
Yeah. No, well, they don't deliver out in the sticks where I live now. So I really made some interesting choices this year. But no, it's been a really good year. Hey, you know, Studio Redwood's going strong.
Excellent. Folks, we have new Patreon reward merchandise to celebrate our 6 years of DTNS. Len Peralta created a special 6 year anniversary DTNS logo. You can get it exclusively through our Patreon on a sticker, a poster, a mug, or a t-shirt, depending on which level you back. You just have to back that level for 3 months. Find out more at patreon.com/DTNS/merch.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. Write us right now. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC in our regular show. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
See y'all back on Monday with our tech predictions for 2020. We're going to do so much better, I swear.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Matt.
And Sean.
From Two Black Guys.
With good credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.